Blog Talk Radio.
King of Israel. And today, welcome to Deeper Truth, Christmas Special Part 6, The Roots of the Anti-Christmas Agenda. As it's becoming, that's coming primarily from a secular source, from all kinds of different facets. And so, that's what we're going to discuss here a little bit. Because it's important to understand where some of this is coming from. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. And I love this song as one of my favorite Advent songs. This coming Sunday is the second Sunday of Advent. And this is a great song also to meditate before the Eucharist in adoration. And the Son of God appeared physically on Christmas Day, December 25th, 2 BC, as a little child, a little baby. The Son of God appears physically at each and every Mass. Rejoice at Mass. The Son of God will appear a second and final time, for all time, bringing the fulfilled promises to liberate his people. And the tide against Christmas today is coming basically in opposition to the Catholic Church. And the opposition is coming from several different directions. Secularists and atheists are coming from one direction, while a number of fundamental Protestant groups continue their attacks on Christmas. And because of this, the threat of political correctness and the secularization of our country, various businesses have fondly tried to reduce Christmas to a secular holiday. And I remember Bill O'Reilly, when he was once with Fox News, the O'Reilly Factor. He had done much to defend Christmas, and as a result, businesses like Walmart reversed their policy and allowed Christmas to be recognized and celebrated. And this is why people should let local businesses know how you feel. And I am told they do not want to offend people of other religions, but yet they have no problem offending the sensibilities of 80% plus of the public who do love the season of Christmas, and that makes no sense. People many times are agenda-driven, not truth-driven. That is the obvious explanation. The war on Christmas can be traced back to the English Parliament under King Charles I in the 1640s. At the time, the Puritan influence through the Presbyterian Church caused tensions leading to civil wars. Christmas was viewed as trappings of popery and rags of the beast. In other words, you know, that's where the whore Babylon. The Catholic Church was seen as the whore Babylon, and the Pope was seen as the Antichrist. And in January 1645, the Directory Public Worship called for the end of Christmas, largely because of the Presbyterian influence. The Parliament decreed, this is what they decreed, festivals, days, vulgarly called holy days, having no warrant in the Word of God, are not to be continued. In Christmas 1647, a number of ministers were arrested for preaching on Christmas Day, and the Catholic faith was persecuted beginning in 1534 until 1829. So these ministers were mostly Anglican clergy. And by 1652, Parliament placed penalties on businesses that celebrated Christmas. And by 1657, the army was brought in to interrogate churchgoers suspected of celebrating Christmas. And because of this influence taking place in the English Parliament, the Puritan influence was being felt in the New World as well. Christmas was illegal in New England during this time, the 17th century, and this ban on Christmas would last until the 1850s, when immigrants from pro-Catholic countries such as Ireland and Germany began to arrive by the millions. A Massachusetts law of 1659 punished offenders who celebrated Christmas with a fine of 5 shillings. To the Puritans, Christmas was an invention of Rome. In that I agree. It was a practice of the early church. But the Puritans began developing a new historical approach, claiming that the Emperor Constantine originated Christmas, embodying paganism through its practices and rituals. And elaborate versions began to appear as the hostility towards the Catholic Church intensified. Groups like the Seventh-day Adventists were formed in 1863 through their anti-Catholic bias. And because of the influx of Catholics, leading universities such as Bob Jones University began printing out anti-Catholic tracts, and thus was basic standard to academics in America at that time. And the Puritan leaders in America rejected Christmas because they associated it with paganism and idolatry. Even today, small groups of Puritan-like-minded individuals still try to use these arguments. In 1870, Christmas became a federal holiday under President Ulysses S. Grant, as the Puritan position began to decrease. Americans began to accept Christmas, both the spiritual as well as the commercial value. Today, the majority of Christians have no problem with Christmas. Most of them see Christmas as a holiday to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. That is Christmas. Christmas is a season to bring the message of peace, to recall the story of that first Christmas day, the coming of our Savior, is to bring great joy. And Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 states, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This good news was prophesied over 700 years before Jesus' birth, and that is the Christmas story. To those who celebrate this child's birth, Isaiah would say, "No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper, and you shall confute every tongue that rises against you in judgment." This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and their vindication. From me, says the Lord. And when people wake up to the truth of the Catholic faith, their eyes are opened to the truth. Then the joy of Christmas can penetrate the heart and mind, bringing hope where there was despair. I think this is a major reason why some of these groups refuse to accept Christmas, because December 25, today, because this totally refutes their agenda of claiming the church was pagan. The attack on Christmas is definitely an attack on the Catholic faith. The secularists will not always be that open with it, but the various Protestant groups will not hide it. They double down on it. And so the battle lines are drawn. There are those who seek to rob us of our faith and joy in the Lord. Be encouraged. St. Paul wrote, "You may be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with you, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. And so this is Christmas. That is Christmas. And so I wish, and I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year as we move forward through Advent and preparing for the King as a Christmas, as a little child, and then, of course, his second coming. Advent, the coming of the King. Are you ready? And so that's what Christmas helps us in preparing for the coming of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for all the great gifts that you have given us. And we thank you, Lord, for sending your son. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten, For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, so that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's why we can sing, hark, the herald angels sing.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky with angelic hosts proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hark, the herald angels sing. Hark, the herald.
oh come, great Lord of mine.
Sweet hymns are
One thing about December and coming into the Christmas season, these Christmas songs just really speaks to the heart, don't it? Silent Night. And I thank you for listening and praying for deeper truth and these specials. Today is Christmas Special Part 6, Roots of the Anti-Christmas Agenda. And so, Merry Christmas. So when someone says, Happy Holidays, to me, I will back that up and say, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Christmas, that's where the word Christmas comes from. Christmas. It's about Christmas, and we will speak more to that tomorrow as we get into the Midnight Mass. And so, thank you all, and God bless you all as we march on forward through Advent and towards Christmas. God bless you all, and don't forget about the Happy New Year, and don't forget about tomorrow, December 8th, Feast of the Immaculate Conception, Holy Day of Obligation. Get to Mass, get to Mass. Go, and God bless you all. Merry Christmas. Good day. Amen.